Judges chapter number 8. If you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture this morning. I'm interested. I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll maybe say some things about leading up to this verse. And, of course, chapter 7 is the great victory that Gideon and his 300 men had over the Midianites. There were 135,000 of those, and Gideon only had 300 men. And that shows us there in that passage, among other passages, that God is more interested in quality than He is quantity. And a lot of churches, I think, have lost sight of that. And God is more interested in your quality than the quantity that in your life. But look, if you will, in chapter number 8, this is after that victory, and Gideon and his men were still tracking the enemy. And we come down to verse 4, and I've pointed this out before, but the Lord has seemingly stirred my heart to reference it this morning. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men. Now before we read, think of all they've already done now. They've been at it, they've been warring non-stop. And there's nothing that'll wear you out like fighting. Say amen right there. I remember, let me just briefly comment here. I remember taking our youth to Galilee teen camp. And one of the activities they had at Galilee was boxing. You say, in a Christian camp? Oh, yeah, well, it happens anyhow. Just put gloves on so they don't get hurt. But they weren't in the ring, you know, for just a very, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes or something. And, I mean, they were at the point of passing out, just exhausted, you know, from that intense moments of conflict. Nothing will wear you out like fighting, and that's true spiritually. And that's what we're finding here. Gideon and his 300 men that were with him, the Bible describes it this way: they were faint, yet pursuing them. They were faint, that's the physical condition, yet pursuing, that's their spiritual condition. And that's what I want to look at for just a few minutes this morning. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'd speak to us and through us. Help us to say something that would be a help, be an encouragement, Lord, to this congregation. And Lord, I have no way of knowing myself, Lord, the condition that people are in spiritually in this service. And Lord, we've already dealt with, you've led our heart to say some things about sinking. And Lord, how much of a potential that is for us. And Lord, many of us can relate to that at various stages of sinking. And Lord, you've saved us from sinking numerous times. And Lord, I thank you for that. But Lord, we have in front of us here an example, Lord, of what you want in our life. That is to be so dedicated and so devoted that quitting is never an option. That sitting down, falling down, stopping, laying down spiritually is not an option. And I pray that you will help us, dear Lord, to expound this as you would lead our heart and mind. And may we say nothing more, nothing less than, God, what you would order. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice there again, if you would, that Gideon and his 300 men were described in the fashion of being faint. And boy, the Bible says a lot about fainting. But what's on my mind this morning is to say we may be faint, but we're not finished. That yet pursuing lets us know, yeah, they're faint, but they've not quit. They're faint. You know, they're experiencing a measure of exhaustion, a measure of weakness, but the fact that it says yet, that word yet means in spite of. They're faint, and surely when you're faint, you want to sit down, lay down, amen, But the Bible said, yet, in spite of that, they were pursuing. Amen. What that drive that was in them was greater than the difficulties around them. Hey, that's right. And you listen, that drive within you, amen, that denies how you feel. That drive within you that propels you forward when you don't feel like it. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling something right there. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad that the Bible said they were faint, yet pursuing. Amen. Now, Gideon and the people of God had been oppressed by the enemy for 7 long, unending years. And one writer said that the Israelites would plow and plant their fields, and then the enemy would turn their own personal livestock out so that the livestock would eat up the fields that they had that God's people had plowed and planted. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that'll get on your nerves when it seems that your labor is in vain. When it seems you plow and plant, but the enemy seems to get the upper hand, that will play on your spiritual fatigue, amen? It really will. And they were wore out. They were wore out. They were fatigued. They were fainting. They were not fainting, but they were faint. They had all of the conditions that goes with faint. Amen. And the Bible said, yet pursuing. And I want to just deal with that. The word faint, of course, just simply means to be weary. Wonder how many people here today is weary. And you better be alert to weariness. You better be alarmed to weariness. Because weariness will kill you as quickly as war will. The devil doesn't have to put you in a fight if he can just get you faint. The devil knows he doesn't have to punch you if he can just wear you down to where you become weak and weary in the journey. I don't know if you've noticed in the emphasis of that in the scripture, but Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us, and let us not be what? Weary in well-doing. Now what about that? You can become weary even in well-doing. You can become weary in going to church. You can become weary in reading your Bible. You can become weary in doing spiritual things. You can become weary in good things. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then Paul, again in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, talking to the church at Thessalonica, said the similar words. He said, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Tells them to not be weary in well-doing. Why? Paul knew what the consequences of weariness could be. And we've all been there. Amen. We've all been there, I'm afraid. Luke 18 and 1, Jesus of his own mouth dealt with fainting. He said, men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to lose strength or to lose heart. I want to ask you a very simple question this morning. Is your heart still in spiritual things? Amen. If your heart is gone in spiritual things, then you're becoming mechanical in what you're doing. And it won't be long till you'll look for an exit. You'll look for a way out if your heart is not in it. They were being propelled with a drive of heart in our text. And they got that, and I want to preach to me a second. They got that from their leader. They saw Gideon with that never say die spirituality. They saw Gideon that wouldn't quit and throw in the towel when it would have been easy to do that. And you pray for me that I'll be the leader like that. That when it gets tough, that we'll just get tough with it. Amen. Amen. Oh, God help us this morning. And the word pursuing here in this verse means to run after. Now, when you get faint, running is what is not on your mind. Running is not on your mind when you're faint. It means to run after, to chase. I like this definition, Brother Carroll. It means to harass. Oh, yeah. Even when you're faint, even when you're faint, you can harass the enemy. Well, that's good. And if you're saved here this morning, you ought to have a desire in you to harass the enemy. Now, I know we could pass the microphone around and we could get testimonies this morning of the enemy harassing you. We could all testify about that, how the enemy harasses us and chases us and runs after us and aggravates and irritates us. We could all testify to that. But why don't we turn that around? Why don't we turn that around and what was those two words you used, proactive and reactive? Miss Jamie was talking about that in our prayer meeting a few weeks ago that we had on Saturday night. She said a lot of our fighting and a lot of our concern and focus is just reactive. We're just reacting to circumstances. We're just reacting to situations, amen? And all of our fighting mainly is just to get back to where we was, to maintain. But she said, may God help us to go from reactive to proactive, which means to gain ground, to get new turf, amen, to conquer new ground. Amen, that's right. And we can chase, we can harass, we can run after the enemy. But how many of us do that? Most of us in here, including the preacher, don't do that. We try, if the enemy's going that way, we try to go the other way. Because we hate conflict. We hate confrontation. But I want to tell you what these did was they ran after the enemy. They had already warred and fought till they was faint. Another fight would surely not have been on my agenda. But they knew if we let them go, it will be to fight again another day. Let's finish them. Let's not be finished, but let's finish the enemy. And let's chase after, and let's run after them. Let me make some comments to help you see the importance or the difference between faint and pursuing. Fainting and pursuing. Faint has to do with the outward. Pursuing has to do with the inward. And I already referenced that with that drive that's within. Faint has to do with the battle. Pursuing has to do with the blessing. Faint has to do with complication. Pursuing has to do with inspiration. Faint has to do with what's natural. Pursuing has to do with what is supernatural. Now listen to this. Faint has to do with the physical. Pursuing has to do with the spiritual. And how many of us in this service, most of our Christian life is gauged by the physical instead of the spiritual. Amen. Faint has to do with exhaustion. Pursuing has to do with energy that we still have. Amen. Faint has to do with feelings. Pursuing has to do with faithfulness. Well, we ought to let the devil know, you know, I'm faint. I'm faint, but I'm not finished. And I'm not quitting. I purpose in my heart that we're going to be faithful. That we're going to be faithful. Amen. Gideon couldn't have done this by himself. Gideon couldn't have won the victory by himself. He had to have those 300 men with him. Amen. And I want to say without hesitation, there's no way that I can do the will of God for this church by myself. Amen. And I know that, and you know that. And thank God for the helpers we have and those that have got your shoulder up underneath the spiritual load of this church. And I thank you for that. Faint has to do with the enemy's effect on me. Pursuing has everything to do with my effect on the enemy. Amen. Faint has to do with a temptation to quit. But pursuing has to do with the toughness to conquer. I wonder how many of us in here, you faint, you're weak, you're becoming weary. And by the way, I believe this, if the devil can get you weak, he can get you wicked. Ask Samson. Amen. Look at other illustrations in the scripture. If the devil can get you beat down and he can beat you up and get you weary and tired and fatigued, listen, he can sink you, he can drown you. The thought came to my mind a few years ago, I read in the Kingsport Times, and I've gave this illustration, it's been several few years back. There was two boys swimming at Watauga Lake, and they were at the boat ramp right there at the landing, and they were going to, I mean at the dam, and they were going to swim the distance to, there was an island, I assume, the way they described it in the paper, there was an island out there that they were going to try to swim to. Well, they may have done it before, I don't know. But so they both jumped in and they began to swim, and probably about half to three quarters of the way, covering the distance, one of the young boys, 19 years old, he started fighting. He started experiencing fatigue and tiredness, and of course panic sets in, and tension sets in, and that before his buddy could get to him, the 19-year-old boy, frantically fighting for his life, not even close to the land, he began to go under. And the boy that was swimming with him said, the last thing he said before he went under was, I can't do this anymore. 19 years old. I can't do this anymore. I wonder how many in here have got that thought kind of lurking around in your mind. You know, I just can't handle this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Amen. The devil's trying to get you to the place to where you give up. Amen. The moral of that story there with that 19-year-old illustration that I gave was that if you will give out, get to the place where you give out, you will soon give up. And when you give up, you go under. Amen. And I hope that that's not true with any of us here this morning. But I'll be honest with you, even though Preacher Rackley's been struggling in this area of faint. You say, Preacher, you going at it like fighting fire and wide open. Well, that's a good time to get faint. That's an easy time to get faint. Amen. But I want the devil to know this morning, and I don't say this from my physical, I say it from the spiritual, I'm not finished. No, I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. My flesh suggests that often. My flesh suggests that I do that, and yours probably does as well. But amen, who put the flesh in charge anyhow? Hey, man, that's right. The flesh is going back to the dust from whence it came. Brother Fultz, inside of me is the third person of the Trinity, the sweet Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, when I get faint, the Spirit of God prods me on, propels me on. Amen. Brother Aaron, if I were to quit and faint, somebody probably would say, you know, I could see that. I don't hardly blame him. But when I'm faint, but yet I'm going on, I still am going on, people's going to say, well, oh, something's different about that. And I can quickly say that it's not a physical attribute. I'd have to say that it's He that is in me that is greater than he that is in the world. Just because you're faint this morning is no excuse for you to be slothful. Oh, thank you, Lord. And by the way, you don't ever cross them up. Don't ever cross up being faint and weary with being slothful. Amen. Slothful will get you in trouble with God. Amen. Slothful is just pure laziness and slackness. And all of us in here has probably got a streak of that running through us. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. And I found out a long time ago, and I don't really like this, but it's true nonetheless. The path of spirituality is not the one of least resistance. The will of God usually is uphill. And it's usually got a bunch of giants on it. Amen. Ask Caleb in the Old Testament. The will of God usually is not easy. Usually the will of God requires sacrifice. Ask Abraham. Say amen right there. Yeah. Oh, yes. But anyway, in our text, we find that they were faint. They were faint, but they weren't finished. They were still pursuing. They were still going forward. They were still on the enemy's heels. They were chasing and harassing the enemy. May God help us to do that. Can I say some things about these men? These 300 men, they were faint, but they were not faint-hearted. That's good. They were not faint-hearted. They were faint. Remember, I've told you that was the physical. And yet on the inside was a propelling drive of their heart. They were not faint-hearted. They were not cowards. These 300 men had been involved already in a war. You listen, unless you know the details of that, you really can't grasp just how difficult of a war they just had with the Midianites. Let me just help you to see a little bit of that. The Midianite army was 135,000. Gideon's army to start with was 32,000. And you know the story. God tells Gideon, you've got too many. Now wait a minute. Do the odds before they even start, before they ever started. 135,000 to 32,000. That is 4-1 odds. I mean, to start with, every one of Gideon's army was going to have to, they knew that there are four enemies that I'm going to have to whip. 4-1 odds. How many of you would go into a scrap 4-1? Come on now. I know I wouldn't. Not unless I was packing a little bit of heat, amen, to equal the score. 4-1 odds. Well, God says you've got too many. And so he tells Gideon, in chapter number 7, he tells them to tell all of those that are afraid and fearful to go to the house. Now, I'm talking about old Gideon now. What a leader. Wow. You know how many went home? 22,000. If I'd have been Gideon, I'd have been disheartened, wouldn't you? Here I am pastoring this church, 32,000 members. Think we're doing good. And then I just tell everybody that's afraid of the fight to go home. And 22,000 left. I believe I'd have felt like resigning, wouldn't you? Well, he goes to God again on that. And God says, you still have too many. Gideon says, wait a minute, that just don't add up. And a lot of God's will don't add up. A lot of God's ways does not make sense. 4-1 odds to start with, he sends the cowards home. 22,000 of them left. And the Lord said in verse 4, you still got too many. Now wait a minute, Lord. 4-1 odds to start with, you said we had too many. I preached one message and 22,000 people in my church left me. And you're now telling me that I still have too many? When the 22,000 left, that brought the odds from 4-1 all the way to 13-1. That's not good odds. 4-1 is not good odds. 13-1 is definitely not good odds. Each one of Gideon's army was going to have to whip 13 of the Midianites. How many would have run from that fight? I'm trying to show you there's no doubt that the reason they're fatigued. Well, God says you've got too many. And so the Lord says, take them down by the brook and watch how they drink water. If they get down and just stick their face in the water, you know, said send every one of them to the house. 9,700 stuck their face in the water, and only 300 was left that took and pulled the water up to their face and drank out of their hand, showing that even though they were drinking water, they stayed alert to the enemy. They stayed alert for Gideon's leadership. That crowd that just stuck their face down in the water, you know, to drink, wasn't alert. And God said, send them to the house. So it went from 4-1 odds, 13-1 odds. Now, guess what it is? The Midianite army, they've not decreased anything. They're still 135,000. Gideon's army has went from 32,000 down to 300. But the truth is, Gideon still had as many men at 300 as he did at 32,000. All that God did was help to get all that dead wood out before the fight started. Because when they were being engaged in that warfare, think about it, when they were engaged in that combat, listen, and then all of a sudden you've got 22,000 scaredy cats running. And they're probably not going to be running toward the enemy, right? They're going to be running this way, which they're going to be running over their own people. They're going to be splitting lines and causing chaos. Amen. And then that 9,700 do the same in the right in the middle of war. That would have been bad. So God said, let me just go ahead and alleviate the dead weight and get them out of the way so that what you've got will do the job. And so they had 300. So now think about that. 450-1 odds. Each one of Gideon's army had 450 that they personally were going to have to whip. I'm telling you, I wouldn't walk into that odds even with Smith and Wesson. Amen. I mean, what good's a 9-shot or if you use a Glock, maybe a 16-shot or something. What good is that? Or if you got an AR with 30-shot clip, what's that? When you've got to take out 450. So needless to say, they're wore out. I mean, they've been fighting for hours, nonstop. Instead of quitting, they're pursuing. And may we get a charge this morning from the Word of God to do that. To not quit, not declare we're finished. Not run up the white flag and say we're done, we surrender. No, let the devil know we're still in the fight. We're still pursuing. Amen. Now I know this is true. If you've been in church any length of time much, you've seen some negative things. I have. You have. We all have. I mean, I was telling some of the men down there this week, they wanted to have lunch with me. Several of the men of the church did, and we was talking, and I was telling about when I got saved, and I was telling about that 7-week revival, and I got to tell them just a little bit. I could tell they couldn't stand much of it. They couldn't handle much of it. I was telling them just a little bit of the opposition that we encountered with that revival that I got saved in, and they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that such activity went on inside of a church. And I told them, I said, brother, you start crossing tradition and church folk can be some of the meanest people in the world, buddy. I mean, they'll cut your head off and not even lose a minute's sleep over it. And I was telling them a little bit about it, and they just couldn't believe it, that people were that vicious in the house of God. And I said, what is amazing is that God saved me in the midst of all that junk. I said, God called me to preach in that. Amen. That's right. Lord help. But anyway, these men were not cowards. These men had given themselves wholly to the battle. These men were determined that in spite of the foe, they were not going to quit. They were involved in a good cause, but they were still faint. They were not faint because they were dispirited. These men still had the spirit of the battle in them. And I believe a lot of church folk have lost that. I believe they're dispirited. I believe they've lost that drive, that spiritual drive. I believe that. God help us. A lot of people can say they're faint, but not too many people can say they're still pursuing. These men stayed with it. Amen. Spurgeon was commenting on this verse, C.H. Spurgeon, and he said this, that there's two things that stand out clearly in this statement, faint yet pursuing. He said it shows, one, the weakness of the flesh, and two, it shows the strength of grace. Amen. God says that His strength is made perfect in our what? Weakness. So weakness is not a time for you to quit or to be finished. God's wanting to make a soldier out of you and endure hardness as a good soldier. So these men, there's a lot that we could say about these men, that how they'd stayed up and had been fighting all night long and yet still pursuing the enemy. And they were hungry, evidently, because in the next few verses, Gideon was trying to go to the people of Succoth and another place here. They went on from there to the next one, in Peniel in verse 9, and trying to get some bread for the men. They were still pursuing even though they were hungry. Couldn't have been Baptist. They couldn't have been Baptist. No, sir, buddy. No chicken leg, no fight. Amen. No groceries, no going forward. And Gideon tried to get some bread for them. Well, the instead of giving them bread, the men of Succoth there in chapter number 8, in verse number 6, he asked the question to Gideon, the princess of Succoth asked the question to Gideon, are the hands of Ziba and Zalmunna in thine hand, now in thy hand? We want to know, before we give you bread, we want to know, are the enemies defeated? Are they in your hand? Are they captive? And of course, Gideon says that, you know, that they were not, but they would be. And because they wouldn't give them bread, Gideon said to them, Brother Gideon wasn't one to play with. Just because they wouldn't give him bread, Gideon said to them, to the people of Succoth, he told them in verse, look at it. Well, no, I'm in the wrong chapter here. He said in verse 7, Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord, not if the Lord will, but when the Lord hath delivered Ziba and Zalmunna unto my hand, then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Yeah, can you see Mr. Osteen preaching that message? Can you see Smiley? Can you see him preaching that right there? Huh? These people didn't give Gideon the bread they needed and deserved to have. And Gideon said, because of that, when we do have the enemy in hand, we're coming back to visit you, and it's not to eat. We're coming back with a handful of briars from the wilderness, and we're going to thrash you. We're going to take the flesh off of you. So they went on in verse 8 to a place called Peniel, asked the very same question about bread for the men. So they were hungry. They were denying their hunger to stay faithful to God. How many people's like that in church today? That hunger could represent your appetite, could represent things that you desire to have. Hunger to have things. But yet they denied that hunger and stayed faithful, and Gideon led them on to a great victory. So these men, to say the least, they were men, sure enough. Amen, in every sense of the word, they were men. Amen. But, you know, we have people now that quit church if you don't shake their hand. They're not hungry. They're not starving, they're not faint, they're not in the thick of the fight. No, they're just, they didn't shake my hand, you know, or something like that. God help us. God can't win any victories with wimps. God can't win any victories. Listen, we would have never had the heritage that we have now handed down to us if our forefathers had have been like we are. The people that came over here to settle this country and found this country to be a Christian nation, and many of them gave their lives sacrificially, gave their lives. I was reading this morning. I've been up since before 5 o'clock. I was reading this morning about the martyr John Huss. And buddy, how he, they tied him to the post and was going to burn him and did burn him at the stake. And he was so full of God and testified, and while the flames were engulfing him, he was still preaching. He was still declaring truth. Amen. I believe God's grace can help you with that. And the report was in Fox's Book of Martyrs that, you know, some of us feel like martyrs sometimes. We'll read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you'll find out, no, you're not even close. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Put that up beside John Huss being burned at the stake. They had to burn him. They had to light the fire 3 times. When he finally died after, preaching, clear, what they said his chin wasn't even quivering. Was no indication of his face because the wood stopped at his chin. They made sure his face was above the wood. They said his face showed no signs of anguish. Said his chin wasn't even quivering. His voice wasn't even shaky while the flames were engulfing him. He is preaching truth and declaring truth. And said when he finally died, they went up and looked, and all that was burnt was the lower part of his body. And they said, well, we can't have this. And so they had built the wood back up and the fire back up, and they burn it again. Of course, he's dead, but they burn it again. And when that fire had went out, they looked and found his heart laying there, absolutely untouched by the flame. And they said, oh, we can't have this. And so they built another fire to take care of his heart. I wonder how many of us has got kind of heart like that. Some of us, we're heartless, and amen. We're heartless, and our heart's not in this thing. What would RBT if our heart was in? What would this church be if our heart was in it? And I'm going to tell you, friend, and I've said it before, and I don't mean to embarrass nobody, but I would tell you, our church is not where it needs to be. When I saw God move through there Wednesday night and save 11 people, and we didn't get out till 11:30, and I mean there wasn't even any preaching, I'm telling you, I've seen afresh and anew the power of God and what God can do when he's unrestrained and when he is ungrieved and when he's unquenched, God's people getting right. And I thought, oh God, help me to take this back to RBT that we could see God move in mighty power. Brother Jason, y'all need to see God up in Mansfield move. We have lost people sitting on our pews every service. Almost every single service of every single week. What's it going to take to move them? They've heard our choir. They probably could sing our choir songs as good as the choir can. They've heard the youth choir. They've heard me preach numerous times. Numerous times. What's it going to take? It's going to take more than choir singing, evidently. It's going to take more than preacher actually preaching, evidently. It's going to take more than our order of service, evidently. I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take an invasion of God in our services. And most people don't want that, or at least they want it, but they don't want to change. They don't want to confess fault. They don't want to be like I saw this week. Daddy's looking at the family and confessing anger issues and asking for the family to forgive them. Amen. Confessing bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, lust, and a pile of other things. You say, I wouldn't do that. Oh, if you want revival, you will. Amen. That's right. But we want to just come to church, play the part, play the game, and go eat. Come back tonight, do the same. Go home. For a few, come back on Wednesday night, do the same, and then we go home. Parents, you that's got lost children that sit here every service, you don't think we need more than that? There's people brings their family to this church because they said, I believe God's going to use this church ministry to get my children, save my children. And we've seen a lot of that happen. We've seen a lot of that happen, and I'm thankful for that. But we need the power of God. We need the power of God. Amen. It's available for us. The power of God's available for us. And we're more focused on the faint than we are on the pursuing. Well, amen. I think this is good about the 300. I'm not almost done. They knew who the enemy was. We can't pursue the enemy because we're pursuing each other. We wrestle. We're told in the scriptures to wrestle not against flesh and blood. Why? Because that's not our enemy. You know, it's easy to look at a person and say, that's my enemy. That's my problem. She's my problem. He's my problem. They're my problem. No, look in the mirror. That's your problem. You know how I know that? Because that's my problem. My flesh is my greatest enemy. Amen. I've been defeated far more by my flesh than I have any other thing in my Christian walk. They knew who the enemy were. They didn't allow their fatigue to turn and start fighting each other. They couldn't have been Baptist. Amen. They did not have the attitude that good enough was good enough. Well, hey, Gideon, we've already whipped a bunch, you know. We've been faithful already. No, there were still some standing. There were still some running. We need to chase them. We need to take care of business. Good enough was not good enough. A lot of people lets good enough stop and stagnate and stunt their spiritual growth. Their focus was stronger than their feelings. They didn't trade, I already said this one, they didn't trade weariness for slothfulness. They didn't change their pursuit to other things. They stayed focused on the will of God. They were faint, but they were not finished. And I want to encourage you, you may encounter faintness in your life, and you may be here today. I'm telling you. I know preachers, I know pastors that are hanging by a thread. I mean hanging by a thread, buddy. Oh, you may not could tell it when they get in the pulpit because they put on the fake smile and they got 2 points in a poem. But inwardly, they're just about that close of walking away. And that's true in the pulpit. How much more is it true in the church? How many people in the church? You come to church, you still smile, you use the brother and sister lingo and all of that, but you're thinking about throwing in the towel. RBT, we've got some listen, I'm being honest with you, we've got some difficult days coming in this nation. You've got to have your head in the sand to not believe that. Amen. Like Miss Jamitha was saying last night in prayer meeting, she told me, she said, preacher, it looks like, what was your definition of that president? Somebody crazy or a... She was saying, you know, it looks like one way or the other, on one side or the other, we're going to end up with a crazy president. Are y'all listening? Brother, we've got some difficult days coming in this country. Amen. The female running for president, amen, I don't call her Hillary, I call her Killary. More accurate. She don't make no bones about it, buddy. Her moral, or rather her immoral agenda. She makes no bones about it. So it's all public news that she's pulling out all barriers. She said, we don't need no walls. We need to blend, and there needs to be no distinctions. And you don't see, can you see that happening when we're already having the transgendered restroom usage issue going on? That's right. If she gets in there, I'm telling you, this country is forever gone. And I'm not saying that because she's a Democrat. I'd say the same thing if she's a Republican. I don't care what the tag is. I go off of her record. I go off of the fact that she, well, I better get off that. I'd like to expose her real good. Amen. I mean, we know what she's going to do. She don't make no bones about it. We know, and brother, our churches are still in this country, and it's coming to us. It's coming down the pipeline. You say, why'd you bring that up? Because we need soldiers, we need spiritual warriors that when faint, you keep faithful, you're not finished, you stay in the fight. Amen. Amen. Stay with the church, stay with the preacher, as long as he's right, stay in the Bible, stay with God's man, stay with Gideon, let God lead. There's a victory for us. But don't let feelings get in the way. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us, Lord, in these days, God, that we would not be given to fatigue, we'd not be given in to being tired and faint in the fight, but dear Lord, that we would, Lord, allow the drive of the Spirit within us, Lord, that propel us forward in spite of past victories, in spite of being wore out from warring beforehand, and Lord, in spite of all of that, Lord, help us, God, to pursue on, Lord, to chase after, to harass the enemy. Lord, I pray, God, help parents to not give in. Lord, let them chase the enemy out of their home, and Lord, may the parents, may that husband, that wife, purpose in their heart by the grace of God. I'm not letting the enemy have a place of abode here. We're going to chase them out. We're going to stand. And Lord, we're faint, we're tired, we're weary, but we're not finished. We're going to remain faithful, and we're going to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray you'd help the young people here. Lord, the young people, Lord, may sense some of that even in their life of just getting tired of standing and standing as seemingly the odd one. Lord, at school or at work, and maybe somebody's speaking critically of them, and maybe somebody's putting them down and making fun of them in one way or another, and they're just, it's wearing them down. And it's easy for them to respond in the flesh that way. But instead, may they, dear God, may they pray a lot. And may they realize, dear Lord, that I can ruin my testimony. I pray you'll help our young people, Lord, to be pursuing regardless to how they feel.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.